Hello, interwebs, and welcome to Close Up. I'm your host, Joe.
And I'm Justin.
Just a potential trigger warning up top. We're going to be talking about some bad people who've done some bad things. No graphic details, but, you know, not fun subject matter necessarily. And today we are going to be talking about something around cancel culture. It's not a debate about cancel culture in that we're trying to argue people should or shouldn't be publicly ostracized and dragged through the mud for their poor behavior. But the main idea today is whether we can separate the art of bad actors from the people themselves. Should you still enjoy things made by bad people? Is the idea. And we're going to come at this from a perspective of devil's advocacy today, not necessarily to advocate for the bad people, but to advocate for the art they've made is still having value outside of them, and that it should be possible to enjoy art made in whole or in part by bad people. Once again, we're not going to try and defend anybody's poor behavior, but because the thing is, art and artists are hard to detach. And people put their souls into their work. And from my perspective, to like a piece of art is effectively an acknowledgement that you like a piece of people's souls. And that like and potential admiration can lead to guilt when those people are caught hurting others. It makes fans feel complicit. If I like that person's work, what does that say about the values I hold in the world? Or did my support keep this person in the positions of power which they abused? Yes, because capitalism means people get rewarded with money and praise for being exceptional in their crafts, and because they're so good, they seem to avoid consequences for unfair amounts of time. But they get to these positions of power, to reiterate for a third time, because their work is good. So, what to do about that? Well, I think evidence one, probably the worst one, all things considered, but I think it should be stated. Evidence one, the copium method. Basically, I could argue support people's old works, but not so much their new ones. Because on one hand, you could argue, as I am, they've already been made, a lot of things before we were even born, and for one reason or another, they've proven their staying power in the public consciousness. And if you really are trying hard to cope, some of your favorite people who ended up bad later might not have been bad at the time they made the things, if that helps. But arguably, if you support new stuff post-scandals, then you're condoning bad people, and the people who'd rather prop them up than take a chance on newer talents without skeletons in their closets. Though I'm definitely guilty of some hypocrisy there. But,
well, it's hard because even with new stuff, like, there's, like, when you watch the credits of a movie or you watch the credits of a TV show, it's never ending. There are so many people who work on these things.
That was going to be the second point to it, which we'll circle back to.
Well, that's too bad. I'm making the point.
Okay.
But like, what happens if it's like an ongoing thing? Do we complete the project? Does that still count towards your thing of new stuff?
Yeah, because it's, I think, okay, so here's an example. It's kind of an old one, but as of the week of this recording, the new Naked Gun movie is coming out. And in preparation for that, I watched the old Naked Gun trilogy, which O.J. Simpson is a major supporting actor in those movies. And that was before his trial, before he committed his alleged crimes. And it is probably pretty uncomfortable for a lot of people watching those old Naked Gun movies today, because they see him in that and they think, oh, well, I shouldn't be supporting this guy's work. And, like, I feel guilty laughing at him as the one of the comic relief characters in a comedy. Like, he murdered people. Which was never proven in trial, but that's what a lot of people believe, and you feel guilty about that watching it. Like, okay, well, he hadn't murdered anybody at that time. Like, he was still an upstanding citizen when he made those movies, but afterwards it was... So, like, that definitely color. But my point to all that is, would you watch an O.J. Simpson project today if he made something new?
Maybe.
No, but should you feel guilty for enjoying The Naked Gun?
Yeah, but like, you're going to see the new one, so does that count?
But he's not in it. See, the new one kind of acknowledges that in a funny way, where in the trailer there's pictures of all the dead characters from past movies with their sons weeping over their pictures at a vigil and mocking the reverence to old dead characters in franchise films. And then there's a picture of O.J. Simpson, and the guy who you assume is his son just kind of looks at the camera and shakes his head. Which is, I don't know if they're going to go any further into that in the movie. I haven't seen it yet. I will see it. But it's acknowledging that, okay, people, he is a part of the franchise history, and we're not going to pretend he wasn't there, but we're also not going to idolize him the same way as everybody else. And if O.J. Simpson happened to be in that movie, I feel like that's a different story. You're, once again, it's, you're kind of wrestling with the conscience of, okay, I enjoyed the character of Nordberg in those movies. The critic in me says he turned in a funny performance. He entertained me. But knowing, you know, well, I guess, it's, yeah, knowing what you know about his personal life, it's like, well, do you continue to see movies with him in it? Not that he's had a very illustrious career in cinema since the 90s, but if he were to be in the new Naked Gun, is that, like, pretending all is forgiven, or is it? I feel like I'd be a lot more on the fence to watch it if he was in it, but I don't feel as guilty watching the old stuff that he did 30 years ago.
So, but what about something like Sandman, where it's like, okay, the story was written a while ago.
Yeah, well, see, that's what I'm kind of getting at, though, is like, we know Neil Gaiman is guilty of harassment, but was he
I don't think it's confirmed.
Well,
yet, is it?
Okay, he's been accused.
Yeah.
He's been accused, and his reputation has taken a very big hit, and he's lost a lot of projects. I'll retract my statement. Don't want to be.
Can't go accusing people of things.
Sorry, don't want to be accused of slander.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's. We don't know if he was guilty of anything at the time either. This may have been something, if he was harassing people, he may have done it afterwards, you know, after he wrote it. It's like, okay, so the Neil Gaiman who wrote Sandman, maybe you can put that guy up on a pedestal still. Like, can you separate his work on Sandman from the guy he turned into later? Does it have to color every adaptation of Sandman? Maybe he was that guy all along, and his power just gave him more excuse to exercise it. Maybe he got corrupted over time, but it's like, well, people change over time, a lot of these guys for the worse. And do I have to look at their entire body of work badly because of who they became later, when they might not always have been that way?
Well, I wonder, because it's like, okay, you know, some of these people have done really great works. And yeah, it's like, well, doesn't the art kind of take on its own life in a way? Like,
yeah,
it should be kind of separated from the creator.
Yeah. And that's where it's tricky. Like I said, because with capitalism and whatnot, if you're supporting the art, you're also supporting the artist. The two are so interchanged in our system. You can't praise the art without praising the work of the artist. You can't buy into art without financially supporting somebody you morally disagree with. It's very hard. Like, even though you can personally appreciate it, it's, do I want to buy into this, even though I might enjoy it? Like, that's kind of my wrestling personally. I think I'm more able than most to separate art from artists, which is part of the reason we're having this discussion in the first place, is because we're a bit more controversial in our opinions there. But I feel like I have a tough time buying into things. And just for this first section here, I feel like my conscience is a little bit lightened when I enjoy work previously. If I'm supporting the new Neil Gaiman book, I feel more guilty about supporting Sandman, which is tried and true, and people loved it, and people enjoyed it in a more ignorant time, and there's nothing wrong with the work itself. He's already been paid good money for Sandman. I'm not giving him new money.
I guess financial support isn't the greatest, but...
Yeah. But even in a way, if I'm supporting Sandman, I'm still supporting him. If I buy a Sandman volume, it's probably still going to Neil Gaiman. If I buy even the fact that we're watching the Netflix show, well, I'm buying a subscription to Netflix, and Netflix has a lot of things I could possibly want to see, Sandman being one of them. So I'm not actively supporting Neil Gaiman by watching a show that happens to be on a service I'm already paying for, but that service is paying him as a producer on the show, and they are producing that show. He is making money for this show being in development. So it's kind of funny, even supporting something like Netflix. Netflix is paying people I morally disagree with to make things which I might enjoy and do watch. It's just this whole moral knot that's very hard to untie. Like, you pay Netflix so they can pay Neil Gaiman to make a show you might not watch. And it's one of those things where you're like, okay, well, even if they fire Neil Gaiman, he's still probably making some royalties off it, whether you watch it or not. So on the one hand, it's like, okay, well, if he's getting paid either way, should I just enjoy it? Especially in a situation like that where my money is getting in his pocket whether I buy a Sandman thing or not. If I'm subscribing to Netflix, he gets the money, so I may as well watch it because I'll enjoy it. Moral philosophy, moral conundrum there. If I'm actively buying Sandman volumes, slightly different. If I'm buying the new Neil Gaiman works, that's the worst in my mind. But yeah, it's so that one's tough. We might circle back to this later, but so the next bit, which is what you were getting at too, I call it proportional involvement, because it's important to consider that oftentimes these artists are part of a greater whole with a disproportionate amount of marketing to sell products based on celebrity. Movies can have hundreds of people working on them at a time, and it just so happens that some of the people in charge or speaking the most on camera did reprehensible things. Does that null the value of the overall package? So on, say for example, well, if we're still talking about Neil Gaiman, the Sandman comic, he wrote it all, and he didn't do the art for it, right?
I don't think so, no.
So, okay, actually, let's say like this podcast, for example. Let's bring it to something you 100% are seeing if you're seeing this. So,
Joe did a bad thing.
If I deny it, and if I'm about to, I deny it, and I never will. That is what I declare here. But the point is, if I were hypothetically to have done or will do a bad thing, there's two guys on this podcast talking at you right now. And if I were a very bad person, that's half the cast of this podcast is bad. So it's like, okay, well, I probably won't watch that show because one out of two guys, the more talkative one at that, is a bad person. So I don't think I want to hear Joe talk anymore.
No, I'm going to cut Joe out of, we're going to kick you out of the podcast and it'll just be the Blank and Ryan show with Justin hosting the whole thing.
Yeah, the close up with Ryan and Joe, and then Ryan left and then Justin came in and then Joe left and Justin stayed and he had to get somebody new, and it's not even...
There's no Ryan or Joe.
It's in the same feed, but Ryan and Joe are gone. Does the show get salvaged even though Justin is here with a new co-host, but the last 140 episodes are Ryan and Joe, and Joe was there for all of them, and he's tainted.
Joe tainted it. He's a bad guy.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a bad person. And the point is, besides me being a bad person, is you don't watch this show if I'm a bad person, because it's half the show. But let's say your average celebrity who did bad things, let's say somebody like Kevin Spacey, who was, you know, he was also accused of inappropriate harassment and assault of as well. And so do you watch a Kevin Spacey movie more conscience-free? Because he was a headliner. They sell these movies and shows based on the star power of Kevin Spacey. And he made a lot of great things. But he's also just one guy in it. Just because the poster and the marketing say Kevin Spacey on it, and he had the most lines in that movie, there were hundreds of other people throughout his career, probably thousands, who made these things. On an actual set, despite being likely treated better, Kevin Spacey's no more important than the directors, the gaffers, the costumers, the makeup artists,
the coffee guy.
Realistically, every one of these people is making an equal effort to make this product. He's just the guy that capitalism says is going to sell seats by pushing his involvement, telling people he's involved in this. So buy tickets, because you don't know all the other hundreds of people whose product would be basically the same if they had another actor of comparable quality. That's the only difference. So should the fact that a bad person is involved in something taint an entire project? On a scale of a couple hundred, if there's 100 people who work on a project, like I said, if you watch close up and I'm bad, that's 50% of the cast is bad. But if Kevin Spacey's one person and the other 99 are good, that's 1%. At one point, does somebody have to be bad enough that you're like, okay, well, their one bad person overwrites the work of 99 others. The rest of you could be putting your best work out in your entire career, and I'm not going to see it because of that 1% rot on the project that taints it for me. It just feels so unfair to a lot of talented people that headlining acts with a bad reputation can sink honest and worthwhile labors. That's another reason, you know, going back to something like The Sandman, I feel, besides enjoying it, Neil Gaiman is just one producer on that show. And because of his work, a lot of great actors got to shine, a lot of great set designers and costumers and VFX artists, and it brought a lot of people work. Like, his idea spurred something forward that created a lot of jobs and gave people money. And same thing with that Kevin Spacey movie. It brought people work. He might have been a bad guy and he caused some hurt, but most definitely, but those 99 other people working with him got paid for way less credit. And I'm sure they wouldn't turn down a chance at a job. It's hard to keep a moral imperative when you have to pay the bills and put food on the table and, ooh, my choice is working in a Kevin Spacey movie or starving. Nobody else is knocking on my door to hire me for this job right now. So, well, in that world, yeah, of course you take that movie. You're not going to say, yeah, I'm not doing the movie because I don't like the star. Because, I mean, like, if you're in a privileged position where you have enough savings to say, okay, well, I can be a bit choosier with my projects, fine. But just for those people in the film industry, you're like, okay, well, what choice do I have but to work with these bad artists? Otherwise, I don't work. So you're not just supporting a bad artist, you're supporting a lot of other people helping to make a project come to fruition. It's very rarely just a one person effort to make anything come together. It's like maybe in certain mediums or very certain small indie projects, but even a show like going back to Close Up, even a show like Close Up, it's not just one guy making all of it. Like, yeah, sure, I host, I do a lot of prep work, I edit the thing, I handle a lot of the post-production, pre-production, I do a good chunk, but without Justin being here to bounce ideas off of and fight me when I'm being ludicrous and whatever, it's less entertaining and it's makes for a worse show. I could do it alone, but it's like multiple people are usually required to make a product the best it could possibly be.
I'm not gonna lie, Joe does most of the work. I just show up in my pajamas and talk once every 5 minutes.
Set your timer.
Oh, yeah.
Set
okay.
Your time. Okay.
I'll see you in five.
See you. Yeah. Yeah. So what? Yeah. Do you have any thoughts on proportional involvement there? You kind of.
Well. I mean, the other thing is that we're talking about celebrities who, let's be honest, a lot of them are probably doing bad things. It's just the ones that are getting caught.
That's another factor for sure. A lot of the stuff you like is probably full of bad actors who just haven't been caught yet.
Yeah, it's just the ones that get caught that get in trouble, and then it's like, well, so if you're trying to work on like a set, and it's like, well, I don't know if I want to work on a Kevin Spacey set, but like, isn't basically you're not gambling on at least Kevin Spacey's one, you know. I mean, we know what he did mostly, but it's not like, you know, you go on another set and then another actor and you're like, oh, I found out later that he murders people.
See, I feel I feel like that's another thing around to that point. It reminds me of like Harvey Weinstein is probably another one where I feel like for decades in the industry, that was probably the reason people kind of skirted around. They're like, okay, we all know what this guy is, and like, we're going to work with him because he's hiring us. But like, everybody, it was like the worst kept secret in Hollywood. That's why he was the first guy to go down when Me Too happened, because everyone had stories about this guy. And, but they all could still walk on eggshells around him because I think everyone kind of knew what they were getting into. I don't think very many people were surprised when they witnessed him doing bad things. Like, okay, we know who this is. And in a way, that makes it easier because you know who to look out for in advance. Better than being surprised later, going on set, hero worshiping somebody, and then they treat you badly. Then you got stories to tell in 15 years when everybody's finally taking them down, putting all their stories together. And
Tom Cruise pushed me down a flight of stairs.
Yep.
And the cameras weren't even rolling.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just, you can never really tell. There is no right set to be on, really.
Yeah.
That's why it's like, well, when things are already made.
And think about all the ones you haven't heard about. You don't think in like the history of cinema that the coffee boy murdered somebody or something later on in life?
Oh, like, yeah, we only hear about the ones that are actually big names.
Exactly. You don't think statistically all these hundreds of people making movies, like every major Hollywood movie for 100 years, and we really just hear about the people on camera, or maybe the directors, the big name, or maybe some producers like Harvey Weinstein. If they're important enough to the industry, you hear about it. But seriously, out of all the tens of thousands of people who've worked in Hollywood movies, they're the only ones who've done really bad things, probably even worse things. But we never hear about that. I don't have any examples off of mine, but I'm 100% there are a lot of bad people out there whose movies you watched and enjoyed and don't otherwise have any controversies, but it's just because you don't know about it.
So does that mean that if I don't really pay attention, I can just watch whatever I want?
Yeah, it's keeping your head in the sand and just la 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 la, I'm just enjoying art is art and I don't care about the behind the scenes, and that's a way to live too. It's valid. It's not... See, in today's world, everyone is very conscious of the things they're supporting and consuming. And you have hard choices to make. And then there's a lot of people who try to keep out of all that and just enjoy what they enjoy.
Listen, this world is negative enough, okay? I don't need more negativity.
Yeah, and that kind of brings me to my third point here is... we shouldn't lose a critical eye because of our personal distastes. History is awash with ideas which outlive their creators. And if bad people had good ideas and happened to change people's hearts and minds for the positive with them, their impact will usually outlive the hurt they caused in their careers. They'll be forgotten, but it doesn't mean everything they've ever done should be in history's dustbin. If you had no idea what happened behind the scenes, and you watched something which strongly affected you and changed your worldview, that's art doing its job. And the fact that you might not have consumed it in the first place had you known more, or maybe it gets a little bit soured after the fact when you find out more about who made it, but the fact that you can just watch something and nothing in the work is inherently bad. If anything, sometimes work is inherently positive or leaves you with a better message. Like, for example, this one's actually pretty recent. I may have even talked about this on one of our leisure lists from months ago. It was when I watched The Pianist, and I did not realize it was a Roman Polanski film. And I know he's an incredibly controversial figure in the history of movies. He committed his crime 50 years ago and then basically fled to Europe so that he couldn't be convicted in the United States. And he's basically been living out there ever since and still making movies and still getting acclaim. So he committed sexual assault back in the 70s. And then this movie, The Pianist, it won Best Picture in the early 2000s. And I'm pretty sure it got a standing ovation and he won an Oscar for it. And that's why he's been incredibly controversial, because the Academy still lauds this guy when he's a convicted criminal who can't even come back home without getting arrested. Now, having watched that movie, I was very strongly impacted by it. It legitimately is one of the best movies I've ever seen. It's an incredible movie. And then at the very end, I see the credits by Roman Polanski. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't know that going in. If I'd seen that or heard that before, it might have colored my enjoyment somewhat. I may have thought twice about watching it. I'm like, well, okay, am I supporting this guy? Because that's kind of what I was talking about earlier. I'm like, well, this guy continued to make movies past Winnie was canceled, basically. Like, this movie was 30 years after he was canceled and still just as controversial. And it's like, well, you know, maybe I could enjoy 1960s Roman Polanski works a little more conscience-free, like I was saying at the start, but this is pretty deep into his life at this point. But it's such a good movie.
That's what I mean. The art is separate from the creator.
Exactly. And the fact that I enjoyed it without even knowing who it was, and the fact that it might have changed my opinion if I'd known who it was, I just watched a movie because I heard it was good. And it was very affecting. And I'm glad I had that experience, and it wasn't until the credits where I'm like, oh, yeah, maybe I should have been feeling differently about this, but ignorance is bliss in that case. I spent like 3 hours enjoying this thing and was like, oh, yeah, then I learned more about it. Okay. But the product itself was amazing. And that's the thing, is when you look back on the history of art, do most people really remember the artists, or do they remember the art more?
Well, the art outlives the artist.
Yeah.
Almost always, if it's well done.
Now, even just taking it away from film for a sec, let's talk about classical art. I don't know who Leonardo da Vinci was as a person, but I can go into the Louvre and I've seen the Mona Lisa and there's crowds all around that. I'm not an art historian. Maybe he was a really bad dude. I don't think so. And I know a lot of people do know about him, but I've still heard of his work and enjoyed it separately without really knowing anything about him except his name and a couple of other things he did. History is full of that. Even going back to cinema for the last 100 years. Let's look at, like, I don't know, Citizen Kane or something. That movie was made 80 years ago. Orson Welles is the only name I'm even familiar with attached to it. I don't think I've seen any of the actors and anything else. Basically, everyone involved with that movie has been dead for probably 50 years. And once I don't know anything about it other than Orson Welles. I can see Citizen Kane and just enjoy it as a film, because most of the people who made it died decades before I was even born. So in a way, ignorance is bliss there. If I look more into it, maybe there are problems, but you hear Citizen Kane is good and I can just watch that.
Well, and that's why I think things like Sandman should, no matter what the creator did, is a highly praised work of art. And so it does deserve to be finished.
The story of Sandman is going to outlive Neil Gaiman's reputation.
Yeah, nobody will remember who he is.
They'll remember the name Neil Gaiman is the guy who wrote The Sandman, but they'll remember The Sandman.
Nobody knows anything about Homer.
Yeah, but they know his Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
That's,
I don't know, that's just how things go. We don't remember, maybe we remember their name, but even then, not really.
Only the super fans at that point really know anything about who these people are. I mean, even, let's look at something even slightly more contemporary, like Superman and the Fantastic Four, two of the biggest movies out right now. But your average person, go to your average person on the street and ask them what Superman's origin is. Yeah, they know he's a baby from Krypton. He sent from a dying planet to Earth, raised by kindly farmers, and became Superman. Everyone knows that. Now ask them who created Superman.
Stan Lee.
Yeah.
Oh, I got it right?
Yeah, my point is nobody knows. Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster.
Oh.
Despite being plastered, unlike most comic creators, to be clear, who barely ever get credit at all, Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster's name after a lot of lawsuits are plastered on everything Superman. You can't watch a Superman movie or read a Superman comic without seeing Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster. And your average Superman fan can't even name those names. Or, once again, going back to the Fantastic Four, you know enough to say Stan Lee. Your average person knows Stan Lee enough. You rarely ever hear people outside of comic book fans talk about Jack Kirby, who did all the art, which is half the comic book. It's like dialogue and art. And people don't talk about Jack Kirby.
Did Jack Kirby do something bad?
No. Oh. It's just Stan Lee was very good at marketing himself and Jack Kirby wasn't.
Well, yeah.
I also think about guys like Bill Finger, who was the co-creator of Batman. And this is the guy who was so obscure. This is the guy who, you know, basically Bob Kane created Batman as basically just a rich guy who fights crime. Bill Finger created basically everything you know about Batman. He created Robin. He created the Joker. He created, I think, the Batcave and Gotham City. And he was the writer. He created all these iconic elements that basically made Batman who he is, not just the rich guy who dresses up in a costume. And that was basically all Bob Kane had. Bill Finger was the guy who made Batman and was relegated to obscurity to the point where he was a writer on a couple episodes of the Batman 1966 TV show. That was only 20 years after he made the character, after he co-created the character. And he was just a writer on a couple episodes of Batman 66, and they didn't even know he was the guy who made Batman. Like, that's how far into obscurity he fell within 20 years of making one of the most recognizable pop culture icons of all time.
So see if Neil Gaiman is, you know, if they're like, oh yeah, no, he's a bad dude, then
yeah,
just get him away from it and then keep doing stuff.
Exactly. People remember Batman, but they don't remember Bill Finger. They didn't even know who he was. Batman v Superman was the first time he was credited on a Batman project. The character was over 70 years old at that point. And in terms, Batman movies had been going on since 1966. Like, the Adam West movie was the first big budget Batman movie. And it wasn't until Batman v Superman you saw Batman created by Bob Kane with Bill Finger.
Is he still alive?
Oh, no, he died decades ago.
Oh.
Like in the 70s or 80s.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah, he died in obscurity. He co-created one of the most famous characters of all time. Never really saw any financial compensation for that work or fame for it until long after he was dead.
That's a true artist.
Yeah.
Stay obscure for your entire life and then blow up.
Yeah. And it's not like the point was Bill Finger was a bad guy, but the point, like, I'm sure he was a perfectly good human being, but the point is that Batman's remembered like 40 years after the guy died. And he was a big character before that. People never even knew who made him, but just the character spoke for itself.
Go another 40 years and we won't remember anything about the creation.
Yeah, and I think that's true of even ones who are very integral to their craft. The guys like Joss Whedon comes to mind, where everybody's... See, okay, at this point, people kind of have guilt about really liking Buffy the Vampire Slayer or Firefly or the Avengers movie, but they still watch it because those shows speak to people past their creator. When they were first on the air and in theaters, people kind of held up Joss Whedon as this nerdy paragon. He writes such good dialogue and creates such good characters, and he's this feminist icon for creating so many powerful female characters in a time where most of them were just sexualized, not that deep or complex. And then he comes in with things like Buffy, and it's just like mind-blowing to people. But now, long since his fall from grace, people are still watching those shows. They're just not giving him as much credit anymore. Not that he's... And by that, I mean, they're not... They're enjoying it separately from Whedon. It used to be, hey, look at this guy who makes all these things. And now it's just, hey, look at all these great things that happen to be made by this guy. And that's sort of how we moved with a big character like that.
But, like, it's never implied in it that it's like, oh, yeah, this guy's a good dude. No, No. He just does good work.
I feel like the problem with Joss Whedon was a story that was built around him. I remember, I'm pretty sure it was even his wife during the divorce when she basically said, this guy's touted as a big feminist and here's X, Y, Z, why that's all wrong. And she painted him in a completely different light during their divorce. And then all these other stories started coming out about how in public he's this super feminist guy. And then in real life, he's kind of the opposite. But I don't think he ever made those stories for himself. That's just sort of the way his work spoke to people. And it's funny with Joss Whedon, because when you look at his work, I've seen a lot of people analyzing it and saying some of the choices he made creatively, the signs were sort of there if you were really looking for it, that he maybe wasn't as progressive as people thought. Like, for every two steps forward, some of his female characters go one step back in a bad way.
Was he doing that on purpose to begin with, though?
He was just making what he thought was good TV, and people were spinning a narrative around him that turned out not true.
They're doing the English teacher thing where they're like, oh, this means this. And then it's like the creator's like, what? I guess, sure, if that's what you want to see in it.
I think there was a mix of intentionality and not intentionality with him, but it was just his own narrative kind of ballooned in the public eye. And then they like, oh, this guy's a fraud and not that good a human being. But they all still kind of want to enjoy his works because people love them fervently for so long. People still clamor for Firefly. The Buffy Vampire Slayer still got a reboot in ongoing development. Like, his stuff is moving on without him.
So, does this stuff ruin it for you? Like, I don't pay attention to that much, like, news about celebrities and stuff. So,
I think it, I have a tough time because it depends on the severity of what they're accused of, I find. Something like Joss Whedon, I don't think he was never accused of, like, assault or anything, like, super serious like that. He was just, for all intents and purposes, just a real jerk who caused a lot of undue stress on his workplace. He was just the boss from hell and made a lot of, and used his power to retaliate against coworkers who he was having problems with. Like, just to not spoil anything, I won't say who it was, but like, there was a character who he had a lot of problems with and ended up killing off of one of his shows because he was having problems with the actor and stuff like that. And so when it comes to people like Joss Whedon, I've had a less tough time enjoying his work because I'm like, okay, he was a real jerk, but like, you know, he didn't do anything criminal as far as I know. And then there's other ones that are like, oh, these are like actual criminals. Oh, you killed somebody. Or you were assaulting minors. Or you did. Or like, maybe somebody just said something racist. I'm like, eh, okay, they're kind of a jerk. But like, I guess I can see something. Like you said, like somebody said something. Somebody abuse their positions of power, and then there's like, oh, you physically were hurting people. To me, it's like, I can look past certain things, even if I can't like enjoy them as a person. Like, I'm talking about the proportional representation thing where I'm like, okay, I know you're a jerk, and but I'm trying to see it separately. And like I said, for me, it mostly extends to watching new things of these people. Like, in ignorance, I'm blissful. I'll watch anything happily not knowing. But when I do know, it makes it harder for me to want to click play in the first place. Especially if they're a big, the offender is a big part of it. But So it's kind of on a case-by-case basis, basically. I don't think it's ever turned me away blatantly. If anything, sometimes it attracts me because I'm like, well, I kind of want to see what all the hubbub's about. And then it's usually just a mid-tier piece of art. It's not really anything that special. The controversy was the most noteworthy thing about it a lot of times. And other times I'm like, I don't really... Like, this is just a good piece of art. And I can disagree with the person who made it all day, but I'm glad this thing was made at the end of the day. I don't know, where do you stand on this?
I don't pay attention to anything. I don't, my personal bias with Hollywood is I just assume everybody in Hollywood is bad, so...
And that's fair.
maybe that's a general statement across people, but, like, it's a good start.
Yeah. And I think my problem extends more for that last point there is, does this... If I'm judging art from an objective critical eye based on ideas, and the ideas of these bad people are bleeding into the work, that's where I start having a little bit more problems. Like, just like I was saying before about, okay, somebody was accused of saying something racist, or like they did a insensitive tweet. I'm like, oh, well, they're a jerk. They're not very nice, I guess. But, like, if there was a movie with them in it, I'm like, okay, well, they're just proportional once again. They're just one person in it. I'm probably not going to see the movie for them, but I'm interested for different reasons. As opposed to, like, they said something racist. Oh, that sucks. Oh, and then they made this movie, and, like, all the underlying themes were most definitely white supremacist, racist, fascist. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I didn't even go into you... to this thing for you because I didn't like you that much to start, and then the work you made was like, I totally disagree with everything it's presenting with my worldview. I mean, I still watched it, but I'm like, okay, that's just no. So who you are as a person 100% bled into your work. I see that, but sometimes you can separate. Like I said at the very beginning, everything somebody does artistically, you're putting a piece of your soul into it. And it's uncomfortable when you see things you like, because it's like nearly admitting people aren't all bad. They did a thing. They did a thing I liked, and that makes you feel guilty. And then there's times where people are putting their soul into things and you're like, yeah, that's a pretty rotten soul. And I can tell even from your art. You can't even say something positive with your work. You're just putting hate out in the world through and through. And there's plenty of that. I don't really partake in it much myself, but there's plenty of hate out there just for, yeah, or like certain themes or moments where you're like, yeah, that tracks. Anyway, that's what I got to say on it. It's, yeah, I mean, it, like I said, it's all very much in the eye of the beholder. And once again, ignorance is bliss. The less you know going in, the more you'll enjoy.
I like my ostrich technique, okay?
Look, in the end, we're kind of in that situation from The Good Place. Basically, where they find out that no matter what you do, it's like... The point system basically always tallies towards bad because everything
against you.
Because everything is, it's like what I was saying earlier with the Netflix subscription. I don't necessarily have a moral problem with Netflix, but they're paying into stuff I have moral problems with. So I'm like, and that tallies against me as a bad person.
Yep, that's it. You're a bad person.
I'm like, I'm not actively supporting things I don't like, but my dollars end up tangentially supporting things I don't like.
Yes, the only way to get into The Good Place is to not associate with anything.
Which is impossible. Wasn't it like, even like the snail you stepped on, negative karma points are going against you? It was just like...
The guy who lived alone in the bush was the closest one.
Yeah.
And still failed.
To being like an objectively good person.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, it's not to say none of it matters and just do what you like, because I think it is important to make moral choices, but it's basically just don't let that one bad person ruin something otherwise good for you, especially if they're just a part of it and not the entire package from start to end. And judge the work itself. Does it promote hate or does it promote good things? Does it make you feel good things? Even if the people who made it are not good human beings on the whole, and maybe don't support too many things with people who are strongly involved and very bad people. Like, once again, close up, if 50% of the cast is bad, and
that's not true. You're putting it the blame on the audiences. You should put it the blame on Hollywood for continuing to employ these people.
Well, that was part of my original point with that bit, was it's like it is on the audience for supporting it, but also it's on Hollywood. But the reason I put it on the audience is because I'm like, you're supporting a system which supports people whose reputations have already been ruined for good reason. It's like before they did anything and it was public knowledge, that's a different story. But like that new Kevin Spacey movie, somebody still employed him after all that, and you're going to see it. I don't feel bad that it got made because people need to work.
Yeah, well, then I should be allowed to watch it too without feeling bad.
Yep. If you can, yeah, that's the point, is can you separate art from artist? And a lot of times I can. I still feel a bit uncomfortable doing it, but I can, and I do get something out of the work in the end. I think it's good art is good art. And I just try not to disproportionately put my dollars towards bad people, my dollars and attention. Attention being a very valuable currency. Yeah. So that's my thoughts on that. Try to keep it separated. Keep an open mind. Let art speak to you how it will.
So is this episode about you getting in front of the allegations against yourself, or?
Stay tuned for the sequel. Where can we find you?
You can find me on Instagram at jchurchtpm. Don't cancel me.
You can find me on Instagram at ThoughtPlane Media. And check out ThoughtPlane.ca for everything else we do, the controversial and the non-controversial. There's hundreds of posts there for free. None of those ones are controversial.
I seriously doubt that.
No, they're very controversial.
Yeah.
And you can donate a buck or two there if you like our work and you're feeling generous. We hope to see you on the next close-up with Ryan and Joe and Justin. Till next time.
Take care.